Thank you. We again come to you with studies in the book of Romans. And we're dealing with a very, very important subject these days, and that is God's way of sanctifying his people. In chapter 5, 12 through chapter 8, 39. And in chapter 5, 12 to 21, we had the death of Christ has severed the relationship to Adam's race, which is under death. That where sin abounds, grace did superabound. We've been delivered from sin's tremendous power, no longer in Adam's race where sin abounds. We belong to a new race. We have a new head, Christ Jesus. Now in chapter 6, we were dealing with deliverance from sin, S-I-N. And we found that Christ not only died for my sins, but he died for me. Not only for my acts, but for me the actor. And we were following through this fact of identification, the first 11 verses. A fact to be believed, that when Christ died, we Christians died with him. And we're joined now to a risen Christ. That's why if any man be in this risen Christ, he's a new creation. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness where sin reigns, where death reigns. We belong to the kingdom of God's Son, where love reigns. We reign in life through him. And these are facts to be believed. We're not talking about experience. We're talking about facts. That just as sure as Christ was through with the sin question at the cross, so were we. Just as sure as he was raised from the dead, so were we. He's through with the sin question forever, so are we. And we have to recognize the fact. Sin is a tyrant. Sin is a master, and we've been delivered from sin as a master and as a tyrant. Now, so we said that in the first 11 verses, we were delivered from sin as a place in which to live. For example, you may live in one country, and you're under its laws. You leave that country, and you go to another country. You're no longer under the domination of the preceding country. We have been delivered from one kingdom, where death reigns, where sin reigns. And we're now in a new race of people, in a new kingdom. We belong to Jesus Christ, joined to him in his new life. That's what we have in the first 11 verses, and this is something for us to take by faith. We had to count this fact to be true. This is what God says. This is what God has done. Now in verses 12 through 15, we have the second thing in the chapter, and that is, we are delivered from sin as a principle of operation. Let me read it to you. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it, that is sin, in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion, authority over you. Why? Because you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now we come to the second thing. We are delivered from sin as a principle of operation. As I said a while ago, we have a new master. We are no longer under the tyrant sin. Our new master is Christ. You remember in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, although I'm sure Simeon didn't know much about this truth of which we're dealing with in Romans 6, because Simeon lived on the other side of the cross, but he did recognize Jesus Christ as his master. When he said, in Luke chapter 2, when he took the babe, Jesus, in his arms to bless him, he said, "And now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What he really said was, if I give you the literal of that verse, "Now, Master, release your bondslave according to your word." He recognized God to be his master. I'm asking you, my Christian friend, who is your master, sin or the Lord Jesus Christ, your risen Lord? If I'm talking to you today who are not a Christian, you've never taken Christ as your own Savior. You are under the authority and domination of sin. You say, "Sir, I'm as good as you are." I didn't ask that question. What I'm telling you is you belong to the kingdom of darkness. You're in Adam's race, where sin reigns, where death reigns. And the only way out of that is through death. The only way out of Adam's race is through death. And chapter 5 says we were freed from Adam's race, which is under death, through the death of Christ. Chapter 6, the only way to get rid of sin as a master is through death. We died with Christ. Again, I say, if we're dying daily to sin, means you're not satisfied with your new master. You're still struggling against the old master. And hence, there's no victory. There's no deliverance. But I take the fact of what God says. We have died to sin once in the person of Christ. And now, I'm no longer seen in sin. But secondly, I'm no longer under sin as a principle of operation. Before we were Christians, sin used our bodies with all our gifts, our tongue, our minds, our bodies, our arms, our legs. He used all of us. What for? For the performance of sinful acts. Now, says the writer of Romans, now you're joined to a new man, and sin is no longer have any authority over you. Now you yield your members unto God. Just as before you were saved, you yielded your members to sin. Even so now yield your members unto God. You know, if I may illustrate this, how often this has been true. It's true today, it's been true through the centuries. Here, for example, is a person, and they're tied down under the bondage of sin. It may be alcoholism, it may be drugs, it may be immorality, it may be anything, but they become slaves to it. And they've tried medical sources, they've tried this philosophy and that psychology, and they've tried everything, and they're still not delivered. And then they come to the place where they receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And oftentimes, when they take Christ Jesus as their Savior, they immediately are freed from the slavery of the sin in which they were bound. But you tell me, Mr. Mitchell, I know some Christians, men who really accepted the Lord and they still had the trouble after they were saved. They were still slaves to certain sins. That's right. And then they tried to get delivered. And they couldn't get deliverance. They prayed, they fasted, and still no deliverance. In desperation, they turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, I can't lick this thing. You've got to do it." And immediately, they were delivered. Now, let me illustrate what I mean. Some years ago, I was invited to speak at a certain town in the state of Washington. This is quite a few years ago. And after the morning meeting, I didn't know these people. It was a holiness group. One man said to me, "I want you to come home and have dinner with me." So I got into his buggy. He lived in a follower trail right on down through the forest in the state of Washington. And we came to an open place where he had built a house and was farming, ranching. And this man had 6 daughters. At that time, I wasn't married. And he said to me, "Now, Mr. Mitchell, you go out of the buggy and go into the house, and Mom and the girls will take care of you." Well, I didn't want to go into a house with 6 girls, so I decided I'd wait for him. And as he got out of the buggy, he stooped down. He didn't see me standing there. And just as he was going to take the traces off the buggy, he took out of his pocket a big plug of tobacco. Now, I'm not making any pull for or against tobacco. I'm just talking about this illustration. And he took a plug and he bit a chunk of it off. And just as he did so, out of the corner of his eye, apparently I had moved. He saw me. And he turned around and apologized to me for the tobacco. Well, I said, it's okay with me. If you want it, I don't want it. Thank God I've been delivered from it. You go ahead and it's up to you. So he took the traces off and he put the horses away. And on the way back, he said, you know, when I was a boy, we lived in Virginia and we raised tobacco. And on our way to school every day, we kids used to dig a leaf of the tobacco plant and chew it on the way to school. And I've done this all my life. And I said, well, do you know of the Savior? Oh, yes, he said. I've been saved. And he said, I've been sanctified, but I can't get rid of it. Well, I said, I think you better trust the Lord for that. You've been struggling to get rid of it, and you can't. A few months after this, I met a friend of mine who used to preach up in that area. And I said, by the way, do you ever see so-and-so? He said, oh, yes. He said, and you know, when I was there, he was addicted to chewing tobacco. And he laughed and he said, well, you know how he was delivered? I said, no. Well, he said, after you left, he was so embarrassed because you caught him doing it. He said that he decided to take some water, and he went out into the timber, and he stayed 2 or 3 days just fasting and praying, trying to get delivered. But the moment he got back home, he just made for the tobacco camp. And then one day, in desperation, he got on his knees and he said, Lord, I'm going to heaven trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, tobacco or no tobacco. And do you know, when he got off his knees, he became violently sick. And from that day until I don't know how long he lived, he wasn't able to stand even the very smell of it. When his old dad came up from the south, puffing on his old pipe, he said, Dad, would you mind going into the barn? He said, I can't stand the smell of it. Now, I told you that for this reason. This man had tried everywhere, by praying, by fasting. And by the way, I'm not opposed to praying. I'm not opposed to fasting. But he was trusting what he was doing for deliverance instead of trusting the Lord. So we read here, you yield your members unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You yield yourselves unto God. Let God do the delivering. Let God have the victory. You can't win the victory. God wins the victory. You and I enjoy the deliverance. Now, I don't know where it is in your life, Christian friend, but I'm sure I'm talking to some Christians who've tried and they've prayed and they've fasted and they've agonized about being delivered from certain things in their lives that are hindering their spiritual growth, hindering their ministry, hindering the work of God in them. Now, it may not be outbroken sin. It may not be some filthy habit. I'm not pulling for any one of these things. What I'm saying is this. God wants you for himself. Sin is no longer your master. And just as before you were saved, you yielded your body, your members, your mind, your tongue, these things, unto sin. Sin reigned in you. Sin was your master, whether you believed it or not. Now you've got a new master, Jesus Christ. Yield yourself, yield your members unto him. For example, before one was saved, maybe your tongue was full of filthy talk, cursing, bitterness. Now yield your tongue, not to that sort of a thing, yield it to the Lord, so that the praises of the Lord, the praises of the Lord will be manifest. You put a new song in your mouth. And instead of cursing and bitterness, there'll be blessing. See the contrast between yielding your members unto that which is sinful and that which will be for the glory of God. But he wants you to know that you have been delivered from sin as a place in which to live, and you have been delivered from sin as a principle of operation. God wants you and me to realize we no longer are under the tyrant sin. We belong to the risen Savior. We belong to the one who wrought salvation for you and for me, the one who loves us with an everlasting love, the one who loves us even when we fail him. Even in our struggles and we fail, he still loves us. And he's always waiting for you to come to him and have fellowship with him. See, friend, Christian friend, isn't it wonderful? We are no longer under sin's authority. We're no longer living under this tyrant. And believe me, my friend, sin is a tyrant. Men think they can give it up. Oh, how often man says to me, "Why, Mitchell, I can give it up or I can leave it alone. I can take it or leave it." Well, I know what you'll do. You'll take it. You know why? You're a slave. Sin's a tyrant. Oh, thank God. We not only have been delivered from our sins and have been forgiven every trespass, and we've been given life eternal. We've been covered with the righteousness of Christ. Wonderful truths. But, my friend, we have been delivered once for all forever from sin as a tyrant. And if I maintain that Christ Jesus died for me and that he's raised from the dead and I'm joined to a risen Christ, then sin has no more authority over me or over you. It's what Paul's talking about. This is God's way of sanctification. Where the Lord becomes the center of your love. Where the Lord becomes the center of your life. Not selfishness. Not some great desire you may have for yourself. But where Christ will be the center. Where Christ will be the center. Now I want to warn you too. Sometimes people say, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not bound by any sin." No, but oftentimes self is there. It sticks out all over you. Self. Your religious self, your moral self. Oh, you wouldn't go into the things of the sins of society. Oh, no, sir, you've been delivered from that. But your life is sapped out of spiritual power. You've got no joy in your life. You've got no blessing there. And you're not very useful for the Lord. What's the matter? Because you have not yielded yourself. You do not recognize the fact that Jesus Christ now is your master. You've got a new master with a new life, with new hopes, with new aspirations. This is what we need today. You and I can sit in our chairs and we can criticize the world. We can bemoan ourselves how far the world is going on in its sin. We see, my, it's getting terrible. Lawlessness, moral corruption, legalizing sinfulness. Legalizing the things that cause the wrath of God to come down upon man. And we can sit and talk all about it. But how about, the world can't help itself. That's the way it is. It's under the master of sin. The world is under the tyrant of sin. Its leaders are under the tyrant of sin. But Christian friend, you are not. Neither am I. But how can I prove that? So Paul says, God wants you to yield yourself and yield your members unto him so that your tongue, instead of it being filled with things that would destroy the character of people, saying nasty things about people, or being jealous of people, or envious of people, or of cursing instead of love, or bitterness instead of peace, and so on, your life may be a benediction. I'm not asking you to preach. I'm just asking you to live for him. You've got a new master, Christ Jesus. Now, starting in at verse 16 and running through to the end of the chapter, I'm just bringing it up now in the close of this session. We are delivered from sin as a practice in the life. We now have a new experience. We're going to be living for God instead of sin. Let me repeat, the first 11 verses, we are delivered from sin as a place in which to live. Then we are delivered from sin as a principle of operation. We have a new master. We have a new life. We live in a new kingdom. We've got new aspirations. We've got new hopes. We want to please God instead of man. We want to please Christ instead of self. We want to live for the glory of God. So starting in at verse 16 and running through the end of the chapter, he takes up, we have a new experience now. We're going to start and live for God instead of living for sin. And then we'll go on into chapter 7. We're delivered from the law as a principle of operation. The Lord bless you today.